Mark chapter 1, verse number 42. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for testimony unto them. Jesus said, Now, don't you tell nobody. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Jesus said, don't tell nobody. But he said, you got to be kidding me. Amen. Chapter 7 and verse 35. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all these things. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Praise the Lord. The Lord would help me tonight. I'd like to preach to this little crowd here about an irresistible reaction. Amen. I feel like that God is a God of greater things. I felt like this a while back. The Lord began to deal with me about it. So I got to looking in the scriptures to put it all together, hoping to make sense of it. And God is a God of greater things. Amen. He is He's a great God, and it's His desire that we have greater than what we have. Amen. That's right. The Bible said in Ephesians 3 and 20, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all, notice all in those phrases, exceedingly. You expected it to be here, but God took it farther. Amen. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. We just wanted plenty, but God gave us abundance. It's because he's a God of greater things. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. He's a God that does more than you expected in greater ways than you expected. When Brother Mark Jordan's daddy years ago went down to the altar to pray on a Sunday morning, I think it was, someone told me that in that service, Brother Mark said, I don't know what he came looking for, but he left with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. So God took him farther than what he expected. Praise God, because he's a God of greater things. And unto him that is able to do abundantly, exceeding, above all. We expected to go so high, but God just took us higher. Isn't that great? Because that's the kind of God he is. Amen. Above all that we can ask or think. I can think some mighty big things. Most of you can imagine some great things, can't you? I mean, we can just have Holy Ghost services in our own mind. We can just imagine, amen, the sick healed. We can just imagine folding up the wheelchairs. And we can just imagine tear-stained eyes in the altar of our lost family. Amen. God's word tells us that he's able to do above all that we can ask or think. According to what? According to the power that worketh in us. Amen. You see, that power that worketh in us is also talked about when the apostle said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Isn't that right? Come on now, church. Praise God. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God. Not only that, but we are, since he's a God of greater things,
abundantly exceeding and above and beyond. Amen. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Then we are also more than conquerors. Hallelujah. You know what it means? Some of you have heard me preach it, what it means to be a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Amen. You've heard me tell about the prize fighter that goes into the ring with his boxing gloves on and he dukes it out, you know. He comes out with a black eye, a broke nose, and bloody ears and busted ribs. And he wins the match. He not only has the belt and the trophy, but they cut him a check for $5 million. Most of us could survive the rest of our days off of the tithing off of that. Come on and say amen. That's right. He's a conqueror. He conquered his opponent. He went into the ring. He suffered. He had broke ribs that there's nothing you can do about them. For 2 or 3 weeks, amen, he suffered. It took him, amen, 5 days to get to where he could see out of his eye again. His nose is forever deformed, laying sideways on his face. But he's a conqueror. He makes out a deposit slip for $500,000 and puts it in his bank. He is a conqueror. His wife takes the debit card and the checkbook and goes to town. She writes the checks. Come on now. She is more than a conqueror. Huh? Does that make sense? Jesus conquered. Oh, y'all quiet on me tonight. Jesus conquered. But we are more than conquerors. Come on now. He suffered. He bled. He died. He conquered. He made a conquest out of Satan's kingdom. Come on now. Oh yes. Oh yes. And then he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Therefore we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. We are told in the Word of God to earnestly covet the best gifts. Now I've just got to take my time for obvious reasons tonight. Just stay with me. Amen. We are told to earnestly covet the best gifts. It is God's design if this Christian walk works like it is supposed to work. Amen. It is God's design that we seek after a deeper walk. Amen. The Christian life is a constant quest. Amen. There's always that desire. Amen. Within us to know and to see what is around the next curve. Or over the next hill. Or behind the next barricade. Come on now. Hallelujah. Oh yes, and the Christian life is a quest to go higher. Amen. To run faster. To dig deeper and to reach farther. Praise God. And that desire becomes irresistible. Amen. Sometimes we wonder when we've been in great services. Amen. Can it get any better than this? Can we God outdo himself? Praise God. But I want to tell you there is a limitless supply of the goodness of God. You'll never exhaust the resources of heaven. You'll never bankrupt the resources of heaven. You'll never, come on here now, you'll never overdraft the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. But as we have a desire and as we have faith to believe, amen, that reaction that we have, that desire becomes irresistible. It is uncontainable and it drives us forward. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes we may be envious of others' blessings. Hallelujah. Say amen while I drink some Deer Park water. Hallelujah. Sometimes we may be secretly envious of others. I've heard people talk about how that they watched others get the Holy Ghost and they wanted it so bad until they almost got a bad attitude about it. Why'd you do it for him? Why'd you do it for her? Why didn't you do it for me? I've been seeking it for years, God. And they just come down tonight. Didn't look like they had a care in the world. And lo and behold, boom, they got the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Yeah. You know, sometimes we, because of our self-consciousness, we back off. Amen. Because of being secretly envious of others, we want it. We know that God's got it for us, but we back off. Amen. Sometimes God has to just prick us a second time, don't he? Sometimes you have to be asked a second time. You've heard me tell the story about Brother Leon Farley's boys, or his children would play in the neighborhood with another child from one of the neighboring houses. And the little boy would come over and play in the afternoon with his children. And it would be supper time, and Sister Helen would fix supper, and she'd ask him, "You want to eat with us?" And he'd eat with them. And he'd go home and wouldn't eat his supper. And his mom said, "Are you eating over at the Farley's?" "Yes, ma'am." "Well, you're not supposed to." "Well, they asked me." She said, "All right, well, to be modest and to be right, you're supposed to make them ask you twice, all right?" So he goes back over a few days later, and they're playing, and it's supper time. She says, "You want to eat with us?" He said, "No, thanks. No, ma'am. I'm good." And she said, "All right, that's fine. All right, kids, come on, let's eat." And they sit down and go to eating, say the blessing, you know, and go to eating. And he's standing there with his hands in his pockets, kind of kicking at the dirt. And they just kind of looked at him. He said, "Ask me again." Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, our timidness, hey man, in self-consciousness, you know, we don't want to just be assertive and overbearing, and we'll let the, you know, Curtis Teague said something one time. He said, "You'll stand right here and look at the Spirit of God moving like a calf looking at a new gate, and it'll just slip right out of your hands." Hey man, you ever heard him say that? Praise God. You'll sit right there in your backwards ways that you make excuses and use as an excuse, and watch God move all around you and go home without a thing. But I want to tell you, the crowd may be small tonight, but I feel like the Holy Ghost is going to ask you a second time, "Will you let me help you?" Praise God. I'd like for it to get so right here in this little congregation that, hey man, that we just get to the place that we could not contain it anymore. Praise God. That somebody would rise up and say, "Hallelujah." Somebody would rise up and say, "It's me, Lord. I gotta have some help. I'm ready to be lifted up." Praise God. When your desire becomes, hey man, irresistible, hallelujah, then your blessing will become overwhelming. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 10, you find the story of Cornelius, that Gentile man, that Gentile man. I love the story of Cornelius. He's praying and he has a vision. God showed him and talked to him, showed him some things and talked to him. Meanwhile, on the other side of town, hey man, in another place separated unto God, the Apostle Peter's on the housetop, and he's in a trance, and he sees a vision. Hallelujah. I don't know too much other than what the Word of God tells us about Cornelius. Hey man, but his desire was for something more than what he had. Hallelujah. Now, he might have heard about the 120 at Pentecost. You got to realize the 120 at Pentecost was a very unique experience. That's like saying, hey man, that Eve was the most beautiful woman on earth at the time. Hey man, she was the only woman on earth at the time. Hallelujah. Well, to say that the Holy Ghost was a new experience is kind of a no-brainer at Pentecost, right? Hey man, very unique experience. Hallelujah. But what we need to realize tonight is that the majority of the 120, they didn't have any experience with the Holy Ghost. They knew very little. Hey man, probably the only person, hey man, and this is a far-reaching, just kind of stretching it a little bit here, not the truth, but by the imagination, was maybe John the Baptist. They might have had some passing interaction. or some passing communication at some point with John the Baptist. And as far other than Christ, they didn't know anybody that had shouted and talked in tongues. Come on now. They didn't know much about the Holy Ghost other than what Jesus told them it would be and what he would do. Amen. They were pretty much in the dark. Even the Apostle Peter, he had a close walk with God. Even though he was one of these speak first and think later. Amen. His mouth started running before his brain got in gear. But nevertheless, he was close to the Lord. But even Peter probably just had a vague account as to what the Holy Ghost was. They couldn't have told you what it was going to do to them. Come on now. Oh, yes. Amen. They couldn't have told you. They had very little indication, amen, of how they receive it. Amen. They had very little indication of how they respond to it. Amen. But whenever it came, their response was uncontainable. Their reaction was irresistible. And Peter probably thought to himself, I don't know too much about this, but this is that, praise God. This is that, hallelujah. I want to tell you, the songwriter was right when he said, I searched for him, and I knew not what I searched for. I longed for him, and I knew not what I longed for. But when I found Jesus, I knew that I would search no more. For he filled that longing down in my heart. There's been people that have received the Holy Ghost and been blessed of God. They didn't even realize what they were after. Hallelujah. But when they got it, they said, "Woo! I like this hymn. I'm going to keep this hymn. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen." All they knew was that Jesus said, "Tarry at Jerusalem." Hallelujah. Nathan, are you going to sleep on me back there, buddy? I can tell you're just intrigued by the look in your eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you know when you are endued with something, it's overwhelming? And most of the time when something is overwhelming, come up here and help me, Nathan. Can you come up here? He's the only little boy in the crowd, so guess what, son? You're it tonight. I'd use these girls, but I'll use them another time. When something is, you're endued, it's overwhelming. And when it's overwhelming, it becomes irresistible. She told me not to take it off, but I forgot I was going to tell this story. Jesus said, what size coat does he wear? Any idea? This is a
58 regular.
Woo! Put it on. I put about three of you girls in here with him. I want to. Now, I want to tell you that word endued, just let your arms hang down. Man, that fits. Woo! Yeah, you could parachute in that thing. I was picking at them a while back, and I sent out a text message, and I said, man, I hung up some of my khaki pants on the clothesline, and 10 minutes later, this car pulled up wanting to know when the tent revival was going to start. And then I said, no, I really didn't, y'all. I'd done that to lift the spirits of my preacher brethren. You know, I was picking at them. I said, but that word endued, Jesus said, tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power. That word endued means to clothe with a garment with the sense of sinking into it. I might, are y'all getting this? Come on, walk with me. If you can keep it from dragging. Amen. I might well can say that he is endued in that garment. Wouldn't you say that? He is overwhelmed by that garment. Every move he makes has to favor that garment. When you look at him, what do you see? You see that garment. Come on here now. Therefore, that garment is irresistible. Let me have my coat back for a while. Tell something about my clothes, not matching. Hallelujah. He said, send me the bill. I got a bill from Landon Dean the other night. First thing he done when I saw him at the Cowboy down here in Douglas last Saturday night, he walked up and handed me a paper and said, you owe me $1.99. Hallelujah. So I owe you, Nathan. Praise God. Well, he's endued with power. That's what it means, Brother Tim, when we're overwhelmed, when we're overcome. We used to sing that song that said, I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. Praise God. And then there was another one we used to sing that it said, the Holy Ghost on the inside, working on the outside. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. Brother, our reaction to that spirit is irresistible. Woo! Oh, Cornelius, he looked, he felt something. And I don't want to preach too long. I got to see what time it is here. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I got to have something more than what I've got. He probably heard about Pentecost. He probably heard, he might not have been like those Corinthian disciples. Paul met him and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, huh? We have not even heard if there be a Holy Ghost. Well, Paul remedied that real quick. He laid hands on them. And right, got the remedy, buddy, got the cure. You hadn't even heard, let me tell you. Not only that, let me show you. He prayed for them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Cornelius had probably heard about it. Amen, but he was hungry for it. Oh, hallelujah. And so here he is praying. He has a vision. The Lord said, go down there to that house. I believe it was the house of Simon the tanner. You'll meet a man there and he'll tell you what to do. Peter had a vision. Amen. And here he comes. If anybody had problems with Gentiles, Peter did. Even after his conversion, even after his, fill with the Holy Ghost, he had a problem with the Gentiles. He would go eat with the Gentiles and he'd eat that ham and that pork and that bacon and that sausage. And then when the Jews come around, he acted like he didn't know who the Gentiles were. Paul said, I withstood him to his face. Swindoll said, what Paul really said was, hey, buddy, you got some ham in your teeth there. You need to pick it out before them Jews come. Come on now. And so if anybody needed a good lesson on God being no respecter of person, it was Peter. And so here he goes. The Lord shows him these things and converts him right there. What we have here is Cornelius had a vision. Peter had a vision. And when their visions collided, they had a vision collision. And they got them together. Come on now. One man had a vision for what he needed. Another one had a vision for how to give what they needed. And it was all culminated in one great event. Acts 10:44. And while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on all those that heard the word. While Peter yet spake, woo, the Holy Ghost fell. Praise God. Amen. I want to tell you, it was an irresistible thing. How do you know it was irresistible? Because when Peter went back to Jerusalem and was telling that council at Jerusalem, Uncle J.L., what had happened, he said, while I was talking, the Holy Ghost fell and they received the Holy Ghost just like it did on us at the beginning. And he said, who was I to resist God? It was irresistible. Woo! Oh, I wish it. I feel like we're about to get there tonight. Amen. I ain't worried about the crowd. I ain't worried about the empty pews. I'm just trying to get to this place where that this Holy Ghost blessing will become irresistible, uncontainable, more than we can handle. Hallelujah. If we could back up several hundred years into the Old Testament, outside the gate of Samaria, 2 Kings chapter 7, there were four leprous men sitting at the gate. They were outcast. They were banished from the city because of their sickness. Amen. But they were provoked by their misery and had nothing to lose. I've seen some holiness people I'd like to see get like that. Provoked by their misery and realizing, I don't have nothing to lose. Got nothing to lose. Come on now. But whatever it was, it brought relief. They weren't sure how it would be accepted for them to get up and do something. But they said, if we stay here, we're going to die. Why sit we here till we die? If we stay here, we'll die. If we go into the city, maybe we'll die. We'll cast ourselves at the mercy of the Assyrians. We still may die, but at least we'll die trying. It's more or less what they said. Come on now. And so here they go into the city, but they ruled out a great factor. They ruled out the hand of God working. Oh my, what is that I hear? Hey, I don't remember all the kings that Assyrian king named off, but he said, Lord of mercy, this guy has hired all these kings of this nation and that nation, and they're all coming. Woo! He said, mission abort. I got a good idea. Let's get out of here. So they began to run. Come on now. And here come these four leprous men into the city. Anybody home? Whoop. Hey. It was as quiet there as it is here tonight. Nobody answered. And so they said, oh boy, food. Raiment. Yeah. They begin to take it. Brother Jim, they took it out and they hid it. A couple of times in and out of that place and they hid it. One of them said, why are we hiding it? This is not a good thing for us to hide it. I got a feeling that something good just swelled up inside of them. One of them looked at the other and said, are you thinking what I'm thinking? He said, because if you are, you're thinking a good thought. Let's share this. This is a day of glad tidings. Come on now. It's irresistible. It's irresistible. It's more than I can contain. Woo! Hallelujah. They didn't know how it would be accepted. At that point, they had nothing to lose. Sometimes God moves on us to do some things in the house of God. Things got a little, I don't want to say awry or askew or mixed up, just a little unusual the other night at our home church. I won't go into a lot of detail about what all was happening. Amen, but I looked at it and the devil said, you better watch it. Amen, something said, devil's going to get in the middle of that. Amen. Oh, it wasn't out of order at all. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was a-moving. But I felt like just jumping up to the defense. And I said, there was a time that every one of us did some strange things for God. That's right. Oh, and the Holy Ghost just kept a-moving. Amen. These lepers said, we're going to die. We might as well tell everybody and do what we can. Amen. If we die, we're going to go out with good clothes on and full bellies. Come on here now. That's right. Because what we've got, we can't contain. Hallelujah. Y'all remember Robert Beavers coming preaching for us? Brother Robert, Sister Beverly? He gained 10 pounds. He still got it on, can't get it off while he was at Union Grove. That happened to more than one preacher to come preach for me. He said, brother, I gained all kind of weight while I was down there preaching for you. It's because they feed you so good. Hallelujah. Hey, man, Jim's lost weight. Boy, you fasting and praying up there or something. Hallelujah. How you family, they don't feed you as well, right? Is that what it is? Praise God. Anyway, Brother Beavers come down and preach for us. They'll remember. Brother Tim remembers him. And, praise God. And Robert was over. Robert was a pew walker. I may have told y'all, heard me talk about this. He was a pew walker. I've seen him run the aisles with his baby in his arms, run the tops of the pews with his baby in his arms. You knew it was God. And his limbers a dish rag before he gained that 10 pounds at Union Grove. And he was over one night at Gastonia, North Carolina, one of the churches there, Church of God. And they were visiting there. I forget who was preaching. And they were praying up front with this fellow to get the Holy Ghost. And he said, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost fell on all them boys of praying. And he wasn't at home, at his home church. And he said, before I realized it, I was three pews deep. uncontainable, irresistible. Uncle J.L., what do you do when you're three pews back? He went for broke, run the whole gamut, I'm telling you, all the way to the back. Oh, he didn't know how it would be accepted. All he knew, Brother Jim, was, hey, well, something rose up in him, put shouting in his soul, put running in his feet, and said, I'm going to raise the elevation, not down the aisle, but down the backs of the pews, praise God. After service, some of those old-time Church of God folks got a ring in his hand. Said, brother, you don't know how much we appreciate that. It's been years. It's been years. Come on here now. Woo! I'll tell you, it ought to get that good for us. Every once in a while at least. Amen. Then we would say, man, it's been years. But brother, we forgot how much we enjoyed an old-time moving of the Holy Ghost. Oh, phew. Brian told me something fifth Sunday. Hallelujah. Pardon me a moment while I get some water. Praise God. He told me something fifth Sunday stuck with me. So I texted him this morning and called him today. I said, run that and buy me again. I need to use it tonight. They were in revival the other week with Kirsty, wasn't it? About the second night of the meeting, weren't nobody doing a whole lot but going and looking. Same as the first night, he said. And I don't remember all the details, but during that service, Danielle got up and just, did she come over and talk to you first? Just started walking the aisle praising the Lord. Brother Archie had already testified and got pretty lit up, you know. Got a little, how old are you, Danielle? She forgot that quick. She's 11 years old. 7 or 11? 11, all right. 11, y'all get that? Praise God. All right, she's 11 years old. She come out of walking and praising the Lord. Hallelujah. She said, I may have all this a little bit mixed up, so bear with me. She got to thinking about all the good things God had done for her. Why can't I just praise the Lord? And old Nathan's sitting up there, irresistible reaction, but he was resisting. Hallelujah. It was eating him up. Your daddy's been telling on y'all. You hear me? He's been telling on y'all. Amen. Watching his sister get blessed. And he's the one that's the bad he can taste it. Hallelujah. And then Brother Archie got up again. And he said, I'm too old and ain't got what it takes hardly to ride that bicycle anymore. So here come two younger men. Brother Brian and Brother David. They got him around the waist and the arm over his shoulder and let old Brother Archie ride that bicycle like he always did. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's irresistible. Shoo. That reminds me of that old Church of God preacher, James Poe Jackson. He got shot when, you remember hearing about him? He got shot when he was a teenager back in the 30s or 40s. And they didn't have physical therapy then like they do now. He got shot. If they'd had physical therapy, he'd have been a normal human being. But they wrapped him up good and tight from his shoulders down, and it paralyzed him as a result. And he would lay on a cot. They'd roll him in on a gurney on a cot, and he'd preach. Hey, man, the Holy Ghost would fall while he preached. And he's laying there, move his arms and his head, but he can't move from his neck down. And he'd say, woo! I feel like running these aisles. Couldn't even get off his cot. Come on here now. He'd take that pillow and he'd say, young man, I can't run these aisles. How about you run for me? And he'd throw that pillow and those boys would run that aisle for him. I've seen a few times I knocked the home run, but I couldn't run. I said, come on now. Woo! I seen a few times I said to the men behind me, I can't swim. Y'all hold the rope and I'm going in. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what I feel when Brother J.L. Sellers testifies anymore. Amen. He may not can swim like he used to, but I'll hold the rope. I said, I'll hold the rope. because I'm looking at a man whose reaction to the Holy Ghost is uncontainable. It's irresistible. Praise God. Let it get like that tonight, that the Holy Ghost would move with irresistible force. Oh, hallelujah. Sweet Lamb of God. Acts chapter 6 said the word of God increased and the disciples multiplied and they were not able to resist. Is my battery going dead? I did not know it. Am I on here? Hallelujah. Praise God. Change the batteries. You might as well worship God. Woo, that's why we come. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 4. Said we cannot but speak what we have heard and seen. That that's in us, we've seen it with our eyes, heard about it. We were there when it happened. You can't keep stuff like that down. Come on now. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 6 said the word of God increased. The disciples multiplied and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit. Come on now. Mark chapter 9 and verse 9. Peter, James, and John was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. They saw it. Jesus said, don't tell nobody. But years later, Peter wrote in his epistle, he said, we were eyewitnesses. Man, I saw that happen. We were eyewitnesses of what? Of his majesty. It's not Christmas time, but what is the first song that comes to mind when we think about Christmas? A lot of times it's Silent Night. Huh? But when it gets irresistible, you need to change songs and stop singing so much of this Silent Night all year round and start singing Go Tell It on the Mountain. Come on now. Woo! When it gets irresistible, your song will change. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Praise God. Amen. Whenever you say, well, I just don't sing, amen, except in you know, Christmas time and happy birthday and so on and so forth. Well, this one guy couldn't get him to sing in the choir for nothing. I don't sing, but when they sung Jingle Bells at the Christmas party, guess who led the charge? Come on here now. Amen. Guess who sung the loudest at the birthday song? Come on now. Oh, yeah. He said, I don't get very emotional. Don't give me that. 14-point buck walking under your tree stand, you shaking so bad you can't get a beat on him. Don't tell me you don't get emotional. Come on here now. Yeah, Brother Tim moves kind of slow, but when he gets an 8-pound bass on that line, that reel goes, and he says, woohoo, come to Papa, big boy. Hey, man, you know he gets emotional, don't you? I can pick at him because he'll get me back. He's ragged me for years about being ready to go off the river. Hallelujah. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, man. We've been here since day the sunset almost. Hallelujah. We caught a cooler full of white perch and catfish, and I was ready to go. And I thought we never would get off that water. Praise God. He's still fishing strong. Hallelujah. But sometimes things happen, and we do get emotional. But brother, I'm telling you, we need to get some emotion. If you say, Brother Tony, I'm just not an emotional person. Well, God can remedy that. What are you wanting out of us, Brother Tony? Us to swing from the chandeliers? No, because we don't have any. No, I just want us to be yielded to the Spirit and realize there's more than what we have. Come on now, church. Lord, let that is in me become greater and greater and greater and greater. I'm telling you, our churches are drunk, amen, from the generational merry-go-round of doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. But brother, what we need is something to grow on the inside of us that will become irresistible, uncontainable. The Lord told Malachi, he said, try me and prove me and just see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you ain't even got room enough to receive it. Woo! Sometimes you just can't hardly help it. Shoo! I read about Queen Victoria when she was a young lady, just took the throne. And they performed a rendition of Handel's Messiah. You hear it mostly at Christmas time. Most of you know what I'm talking about. And you know, it's a custom to stand up when they get to that part where it says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a custom for the congregation, the audience, to rise. They put her in her little isolated box and where she could view it and have a bird's eye view of the performance. And they said, now, your highness, when it comes to that point, you are excused. You don't have to stand. And it getting closer. And somebody kept watching. And it's getting closer to that point in that song. Amen. And all of a sudden, with a mighty roar, they get to that part. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And with a roar, the crowd comes to its feet. Someone dared to look at the queen. And with bowed head and closed eyes, she also had rose. Because I'm telling you, he has power that is irresistible. Amen. Y'all, most of y'all know our boys have been very actively involved in the Cockrell County High School choral department and sang with the senior men's choir and the serenaders of Cockrell County High School. That's where Landon is tonight. As a matter of fact, he is to perform tomorrow with the quartet at Valdosta. And Dallin was real heavily involved. And when you're at their Christmas concert, Brother John, they've done just a segment. You know, when you get Handel's Messiah on music, it's quite a bit of music. Several pages. So most folks only just do a part of it. And so they were doing just a part of it. And I was thinking, I know what the custom is. Am I preaching too long? I hope not. I hope I'm. Well, that ain't always my motto, Uncle J.L., but hallelujah. I want to be at least not boring, all right? Hallelujah. And so they was getting to that part, and I was thinking, I know it's a custom. Here I am, a holiness preacher in this, probably 1,000 people at that concert. And Dallin's up, and I think Landon was in the same choir. They were singing Handel's Messiah. It's getting closer to that part. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to stand up. And when it gets to that part, because there was something rising up in me, it was irresistible. And I declare, if a front row of Baptist boys didn't beat me to the draw, about 6 of them stood up on the front row, and with a mighty roar, the whole crowd stood. Hallelujah. You say, that's crazy. I know what I got on the inside, and I know what I felt when they was talking about my Lord. And Brother Kyle Taft, it was irresistible. It made me want to get up and go. Woo! Hallelujah! Hey man, that irresistible. Did you know that's a calling for us tonight? It's a higher calling than where we are. It's a higher calling than what we have been. Hey man, we've gotten to the place where we can just kind of mediocre come into the house of God, just kind of meeky mediocre, not really worrying about whether we have a move of God. Maybe on the off chance God will move and God will help us. But I want to tell you, brother, when the Holy Ghost works on the inside, He'll work on the outside. He'll make a difference not only in your life, but He'll make a difference in your church. He'll make a difference in your experience. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to hurry. I say whatever it takes tonight, amen, to make us worship God. I'll share this with you. And I'll try to close. But I was praying last year when we began to pray through about leaving our church. And we left in July, and I started praying before then. Lord, when I leave this church, I don't know what I'll do. I'm not going to stop preaching. I thought I'd sit for a while, and I found out you can't do that. And, you know, when there's a fire burning inside and you got an active cell phone line, you can't just stop preaching. I thought I'd sit for a while, but I didn't. I got to pray, and I said, Lord, you know, I'd really like to help the holiness people. And I don't think of myself as extraordinary. I don't. I got a lot of friends. I love the holiness people. I do. They have prayed me through when I got saved. They prayed me through the baptism, Brother Jim. They've prayed for me when I was sick. They've patted me on the back when they felt like kicking me. Come on here now. That's right. They have encouraged me. And so I said, Lord, I'd like to help the holiness people. And I want you to use Sustaining and I to bring revival among the holiness people, if you can help us. And everywhere we've been, the Lord has favored us. I don't say this boasting only in the Lord. But we preached our first revival at one church. And the second night of the revival, first night it was good. The second night, I had to get on the platform to get out of the way while I was preaching. The third night, I had to direct traffic while I was preaching. The fourth night, I didn't get to preach. And on Friday night, I finally preached till I had to give an altar call. And even in that service, God helped those people. And I walked out of there, Brother Brian, humbled by what God was doing. Other places we've been. And I got to worrying about it. I said, Lord, I don't want to get a reputation as a man that's always just, folks say, all he wants to do is make a shout. And I got to praying about it. It bothered me. Because you hear folks, oh, it ain't all in the shout. You know, and I don't want that reputation. I really don't. But the Lord dealt with me, Brother J.L., and he said, whatever you have to do to provoke my people to worship me, you do it, and I'll get in it. Whatever you have to do. And so then I began to pray, Lord, help me to be a provocative preacher. Come on now. I'm not boasting, I really ain't. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's strange things that happen. Amen. But you just use it to push folks over the edge. Amen. Use it to pull folks across the line. Brother David Miller said he was preaching revival when he was an evangelist. He told it when he was here. And several years ago, he said he done got sweaty. They was singing. He got sweaty. He said, they didn't have cordless mics back then. But they had corded mics. And he said the microphone he had was kept cutting in and out on him. And he said, so, you know, God was moving. And he said, I was already soaked down with sweat. And he said, I was going to, in between verses of songs or something, he said, I was going to change microphones. And he said, I laid this one down. But he said, before I turned it loose, I picked this one up. So he had a hold of both of them at the same time, and it juiced him real good. And here he is in the middle of a song, and he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Praise God. It just shocked him. He said, when I come to my senses, those folks was going ballistic. They was a running and a shouting. And you know what he done? He went for broke. He said, come on, let's worship God. Hallelujah. Huh? Hallelujah. They said Brother Reed Nicholson had a shortage in the microphone hung around his neck while he was praying for the sick one night. And he laid hands on a girl that was deaf or dumb or something. She is mean as a devil, they said. Brother Stevie Coombs was telling me about it. Said she is mean as all get out. And he just had that microphone would give him just enough juice to make it. And he didn't think nothing about it, but he hung it around his neck and it hung on that wet soaked shirt, sweat soaked shirt. And he just laid hands on her. And she said, I don't feel nothing when wrestling, but I felt the power when he prayed for me. Praise God. Well, that's a little superficial, I guess you could say, when it comes to the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you something, friend. And we don't go to those extremes. We really don't. Amen. We don't use the devil's powder to fire God's shotgun. Come on now. But I want to tell you, whatever we have to do, amen, to make it irresistible for our children, make it desirable for our families, we ought to do it. Let's stand. I'm preaching too long. Let's stand. There's an old preacher one time on his way, preacher revival, sitting in a train car, traveling by train. And as he's getting ready to leave, there's a boy comes through the front door of that train car. He's got a basket of the prettiest, ripest, juiciest looking Georgia peaches you've ever seen. He says, peaches, peaches for sale. Anybody want to buy a peach? He might have sold one or two. He got to that back row where that preacher was sitting. Preacher grabbed him by the shirt and said, hey, son, let me tell you something. You're doing it wrong. He said, when you come through that door, you set that basket on that front row, you take your pocket knife out, and you pick the biggest, juiciest, ripest peach you can find. You peel it, you quarter it, and you eat it, and you smack your lips, and you wipe your mouth with the back of your hand. Then you clean your pocket knife and put it back up. Then you say, anybody want to buy a peach? So he's coming back from the revival and he's waiting on the train to start. Yeah, praise God. That's right, first partaker of the fruit. He's coming back from revival and the door opens and there's the same peach salesman. He does exactly what that preacher says. He sets it down. He takes his pocket knife out and picks the biggest, juiciest, ripest one. And I mean, juice runs off his chin and he's wiping. He quarters it up, peels it, and puts it in the mouth, you know. And then he cleans his pocket out with his handkerchief, tucks it away, and wipes his hands real good. And he says, you might want to buy a peach? He didn't even make it to the end of the car. He sold out. You know, I think that's a pretty good demonstration. You know what Paul said? He said, I come not to you with excellency of men's knowledge and men's speech, but he said, I come unto you with a demonstration of the Spirit and the power. If you want to make a sale, you got to give a good demonstration. And if you want to make it irresistible, you got to make it a good demonstration. Come on here now, church. Hallelujah. What kind of reaction are we going to have tonight? I just want to ask us here, we're going to come and pray. What kind of reaction will we have tonight to the move of God? Y'all have been so good to me tonight. You've backed me up. You've said amen. You've stood to your feet. You've worshiped God while I preached, and I appreciate that. That's what I want. That's what I desire. But more than that, my desire is to see it get to the place that it's irresistible to you and that nothing can hold us back from the blessings of God. Would you come tonight? Would you come and let's pray? God bless you, everyone. Come on, let's pray tonight. Lord, make it for us irresistible. Lord, make it for us irresistible. Oh, hallelujah.